All right. Welcome to another edition of Talking Dodgers, brought to you by Rot Your Brain Media. This episode is sponsored by Command Creative Studios. Looking to jump into the podcast world and start making your own content? Command Creative Studios is your one-stop shop for professional podcasts. With a team of audio engineers, music composers, and graphic designers, Command Creative Studios can get your podcast sounding professional as well as looking professional. For more information, please visit CommandCreativeStudios.com. Don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
We're also on YouTube, so if you want to see our pretty faces, please go check out our YouTube page, Rot Your Brain Media. That'll help you get to the source of everything. All right. So, this episode was going to be high, then it goes low. Dodgers take the first game. Dodgers lose the second game. Look really good the first game. Look pretty bad the second game to tie it up. So, here we go. So, here's what's on deck. Series is tied up. Now it's a best of three series. Freeman leaves the game. We're going to talk some quotes from the Dodgers. Starting pitching is keeping the offense on their heels and what to look for in the next two games. So let's just jump into Freeman really fast. I don't think it's going to take too long. So in the sixth inning, Freeman gets pulled for the game. Muncy moves over to first base. Kike Hernandez enters the game. He plays third base. All Roberts said is that he just got word that in the middle of the game, that Freeman's ankle was really bothering him. He couldn't keep going. That's all that we've heard as of right now. Hopefully new information comes out tomorrow, which would be for some of you guys would be now if you're listening to this podcast on Monday. It's not a good sign if he leaves the game because it wasn't like the game was out of reach yet, even though the end of the score was, 10-2 Padres, but the game was still in reach. So that means if Freeman leaves the game, that's probably not promising for game three in San Diego. Mike, what do you think of that?
Of Freeman's injury?
Sure.
I think Kike might be a little bit of a spark and he'll jolt some energy into the lineup just in the way he plays, and he's got a little bit of flair to him.
He's got some spunk.
He does have some spunk. Or some swagger, like I always say.
Yeah.
Obviously, we'd much rather have Freddie Freeman in the lineup, a healthy Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
He played really good in game one. I think he was struggling a little bit in game two. He still hit the ball hard. But I don't think there may not be a big drop off. Kike hit that one to the warning track today and was only at bat. I like Kike. I think he could help us win some games. It's hard to swallow that.
Kike is 2-for-4 against Michael King.
It's a hard pill to swallow with one of our top three being hurt, especially an ankle. But
there's worse players you can get to back him up. Having Muncy move over to first base, then having Kike as an option to go to third base because the way that Kike ended the season and the way he looked even with his at bat against Darvish.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's not the end of the world. It's not like it was a couple years ago where if one of these guys went down, you kind of like, we'd be stressing out big time. I think it's might, if Freeman's ankle's bothering him that much, then I think it's actually more beneficial to have him sit out because he becomes a liability on defense as well as his offense. I'm actually shocked that in the first game, which is a highlight of this podcast, which we will talk about the first game for sure. That he even stole second base in the middle of that game, which was mind-blowing. Max and I were at that game. We'll talk about, obviously, the atmosphere and the highs and lows. But even, like, we both looked at each other like, what is this guy doing stealing second base? And then I think Max was like, oh, he's playing possum. Maybe it's not as bad as we all thought it was. And turns out, no, it's pretty bad. It sucks also because he steals that base. It goes under review, and they didn't even cash him in. Like, he just sat there and said, like, it would have been great if, like, he steals the base and then scores. Somebody hits him in and nobody even hit him in. So it was a waste of a stolen base. It was a waste of, like, him, potentially injuring himself further. It became unnecessary because the run didn't come in. But it just sucks because Freeman is, one of the top three as far as the offense. And the way Mookie Betts has been kind of going, you really needed Freeman to step up a little bit more, but hopefully Muncy finds his groove. He ended this game with a home run, Kike coming in. So hopefully it won't make us too bad.
Well, I mean, the other thing too is, it's not like he couldn't come off the bench and be a DH.
It's true. He can have his
I mentioned it. Yeah, Kirk Gibson moment. We could have a Kirk Gibson moment with Freddie Freeman. Yeah, you never know.
You're right. It's not like he's out for the whole
series.
Yeah,
it's not like broken arm.
The problem is, though, if he does come pinch hit, like, he's either got to stay in the game or you got to shuffle some more people around. Because you're not going to take Muncy. I don't think you would take Muncy out of the game. You'd want to shift Muncy to third. That means Kiki would go out, or you'd shift him somewhere else. There would be a lot of shifting going around if you brought in Freeman in the middle of the game. You know what I mean? He'd have to be a late hit, and then you got to, like, you know, do some defensive swaps or something. Okay.
What if you DH'd him and put Otani in the field?
No. That's too late for that. That's not going to happen.
I'm kidding. I don't mean it like
joking. Yeah. I mean, who'd you take out? Betts?
No.
Edmonds? Teoscar? He'd play outfield. He wouldn't play infield.
I'd put Otani at first base.
You know? Who knows, man? The guy can do everything. Maybe he's really tall. I like tall first basemen.
He might be able to play first base.
He could be amazing.
I mean,
who knows? All right, let's jump into the next topic. Really fast, don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Remember, we want to spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
All right, so let's talk some quotes for the Dodgers really fast. It's not a lot of them so far because they're all still kind of trickling in. Mookie Betts is my favorite so far. So Mookie Betts and the quality of his at-bats. He says they're all outs, so they're all terrible. I don't know really what to say about it. I'm giving my best. I'm doing my best. Obviously, it's not good enough right now. He's hitless in his past 22 postseason at-bats. That is not good. That's not good at all. And granted, his first at-bat, he takes his first at-bat in the second game. Well, let's talk about, hold on.
Let's go back to game one.
Game one, Betts goes, I believe he has three walks. Two of them, I believe, are intentional, if I remember correctly.
They were pitching him cautiously.
They were pitching him, which is interesting. They were pitching him cautiously to get to Freeman.
Yeah, and then Freeman had
better luck than, or had a better at-bats than Mookie Betts the last two years. Not many, but he's had at least two.
Back it up to game one real quick. Back up. So play this out. So I was texting you guys during the game. So there was two times where they intentionally walked Betts to get to Freeman, and Freeman was 1-for-1 and 2-for-2 when they did that.
Yeah.
When Betts hasn't shown that he's been a clutch hitter. I was a little surprised with that.
Well, they did it because first base was open.
I get it, but Betts is 0 for his last 20, and Freeman was already 1-for-1 with his first at-bat and then another hit. I think he got an RBI that next at-bat, right, in game one?
Well, there could be two things you're thinking. You're right.
I'm just saying I wouldn't have pitched around a guy that hasn't got a hit in 20 postseason games.
You're right, but there's two things to think of. First, probably they're thinking Freeman's banged up. You know, his ankle, they don't know how well he's been. They didn't really know how well he was going to be hitting because of his ankle. So yeah, well, I think that kind of shocked
him. It cost him.
Number two is, it's still Mookie Betts. Like, granted, he's been 0-for-22, but he's not going to, like, at some point, Mookie Betts is going to start hitting the baseball.
That's over multiple playoffs. Yeah, again, it's not like
he better, or we're not going to get out of the divisional round.
All right, so, but this game, he starts off, he hits a ball to the left field. Or the second game, he hits a ball to left field. He thinks he's got a home run. We all think he's got a home run. Turns out Jerks and Profar robs him, kind of plays possum a little bit with whether he caught it or not, you know, has his moment with the fans in left field. And I thought the fan in left field did a pretty good job as far as, like, you know, taking, I guess, acknowledging that Profar made a good play. Gives him a little finger point, like, hey, good job. Profar does his own thing. Kind of has a little, maybe too much swag in LA, who knows? But, you know, that would have been a great thing if Betts could have had that home run, because I think he would have been able to build off of it. I think because Profar robbed him, that obviously trickled into the rest of Mookie's at-bats, maybe trying to press a little bit more. I mean, because it's got to be a lot of it's mental for him right now.
Oh, yeah.
And having Profar rob him of that hit did not sit well. I don't have... You know what? I'm just going to click this button. Forget what I have set up, because I can't keep looking at the stats back and forth. Let's see. So where did it go? Perfect. Betts goes. Nope. The first game, Betts went 0-for-2. He had three walks, right? He had one strikeout. In the second game.
0-for-4 and one strikeout.
0-for-4 and one strikeout?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not looking good right now. I mean, at least he was getting on base the game one, game two, not so much. Hopefully the change of atmosphere going into San Diego, maybe feeling not so much pressure because he won't be in front of as many Dodger fans. Maybe that might spark something a little bit. Who knows?
Hopefully. Well, we talked about this before when Betts has that podcast himself, and he had Flaherty on, and he asked Flaherty that question: how, as a pitcher, how do you feel in those, you know, pressure-packed situations, and you know, big game, and you're on the mound? And Flaherty answered like, "Oh, that's fun. I love that. You know, it's why I play that kind of thing." And then Betts was like, "Really? You find that fun?" And Betts admitted, "For me, it's stress. Right. It's like I'm a wreck, and that's not how you. That's not the kind of answer you want during pressure situations." No. To be, you know, is stress, but being able to embrace that stress and use it to fuel you, that's what you kind of really want. And it looks like Flaherty is the kind of guy who embraces that. And Betts might overthink things. He has all that talent, and he overthinks. And it doesn't make sense to me. The guy's like a bowler who bowls 300 games. Like, that's stress, right? He's supposed to be, like, focused, jeez, and he does it, right? So baseball, you're one of the best players in the league. Like, you know, let your muscle memory take care. Don't let your head defeat you.
Right.
You know, so.
All right, so here's another one. So Dave Roberts, not a big quote, but it basically says, Walker Buehler is still our guy for game three. Game four, they're going to have everybody basically available for game four. So kind of not acknowledging that Knack is an option. I think it's all going to boil down to what Buehler does in game three. If Buehler comes in and Buehler gets the win in game three, I think Knack's going to pitch game four.
On a short leash. Still, but he'll start.
If Buehler obviously gets knocked around, they're going to throw everybody at the kitchen. They're going to throw the entire kitchen sink.
Yeah.
But I think that still will mean that Knack will probably start. But I think what you'll see is maybe Knack goes through the lineup one time, and then you have another reliever come in, go through the lineup one time, and so forth and so forth.
Because you would be facing elimination at that point.
Yeah.
In elimination no matter what.
Yeah, if Buehler doesn't get the win, then yeah, for sure. I'm expecting big things from Buehler, which we could talk about that later in the episode. I'm expecting it because we need it. But we can go over that in a little bit. There's some other stuff that trickled in, not too much, nothing really to it, because it's so early in the, you know, early in the night for us. There's still stuff trickling in, so we don't really have all the information what the players are going to say probably until tomorrow when people are listening to this. I can tell you right now is the atmosphere felt completely different from when we were at the game, which I want to talk about that now. Really fast. If you like what you're listening to, click that like and subscribe button. Remember, help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus. Don't forget X, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok.
We're on all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff. All right. So game one, Max and I were at game one. Mike couldn't make it. He was coaching Little League.
We won. We dominated.
yes, both Mike's team and the Dodgers. Yes, that's absolutely true.
Hey, we batted around the first inning. The guy wanted to say, hey, after you bat around, aren't you supposed to call the inning? Not in Pony.
Well, it depends. You normally in fall ball, we can jump in this really quick. Normally in fall ball, you kind of you have a conversation with the other manager. At least I did all the time.
Well, he had 11 guys. We had seven.
You either go. Hey, yeah. Then you would bat around either 11 guys, or you score whatever comes first. Either you bat on the lineup or five runs, whatever comes first.
Bottom line is the Pony William S. Hart Baseball Dodgers were raking on Saturday.
Hey, you know what? So is the Shetland 5U team.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. All right. So Max and I were at the game one, and I will say this. At some point, I believe it was probably the seventh or eighth inning when we was like super stressed moment. I was thinking to myself, even if the Dodgers lost this game, it was still an amazing game to be at because it was blow for blow, punch for punch.
Yeah.
The Padres drew first blood, then the Dodgers came back. They threw a punch, then Padres threw a punch, then the Dodgers threw a punch, and then the Dodgers just kept, you know, going at them. Then every inning was a super stressful inning, but at the same time, it was a great game throughout. The game two, not so much. We'll talk about that in a second. So Yamamoto in game one, he only ended up going three innings pitch, five hits, five earned runs, two walks, one K and one home run. He gives up a first inning home run to Manny Machado, which was really, that sucked the air out of the stadium. I will say that I know we had this conversation the last episode as far as me not understanding why you flipped Yamamoto and Flaherty. And I still do not understand why you flipped Yamamoto and Flaherty, because now going off of what I saw from Yamamoto, if Yamamoto is my option for game five, that is very scary. If Flaherty was your game one, well-rested going into game five, I'd feel a lot better, even though, you know, Flaherty still gave up four earned runs and five innings pitched. He still looked like he was way under, he was under more control than Yamamoto. So seeing it firsthand really bummed me out. But seeing our pitching after Yamamoto with Brazier, Vesia, Phillips, Kopech, and Trinan, basically they're guys we felt like are the top dogs we've talked about on this podcast. They went seven innings pitched, two hits, zero earned runs, granted four walks, but they were pitching around some people, seven Ks. The big stud out of those guys was Trinan. Trinan came in and kind of saved Kopech. When Kopech came in, walked the first batter. He got out of a jam, but he was very wild coming in. And was, you could feel everybody just kind of like, this, come on, we're only up by two. Don't let this happen. Trinan comes in, who I thought they should have used Trinan to face Machado and
the heart of the order.
The heart of the order earlier in the game. But Phillips came in and did his dominance. Dominated. So I'm actually glad they saved Trinan for the end, because Trinan, he had to come in and save Kopech he had to pitch to those guys in the last inning. But Trinan came in, he pitched one and two thirds, gave up one hit, two walks, but struck out three. But that slider, you could even tell the sweeper, I'm sorry, how devastating that thing was, because people were swinging out of their pants. I remember Max and I, because we're sitting at the third baseline, we had to keep looking at the scoreboard, because the scoreboard will tell you what type of pitch is being thrown, the velocity and everything like that. And you could just tell when he swung at it, I was just going over there. I'm like, it's got to be the sweeper. Yep, it's the sweeper. That thing had a lot of movement. When I got back home, I watched the highlights, and yeah, that thing was devastating. The hitting for the Dodgers was obviously just as impressive. We got to see Ohtani in playoff form in the first game for sure, not so much the second game. But Ohtani goes 2 for 5. He had the 3-run homer. And his homer, I believe, came in the second inning, bottom of the second inning. And the way he hit that ball looked like a line drive that never went down. And he threw the bat, and the passion that I think that he's been bottled up with that guy playing for the Angels for like 7 years was absolutely amazing. And Max got a shot of it. Did you post that?
Of course.
All right. of course. He looked great. Betts had his three walks. Freeman went 2 for 5. Teoscar had a big hit up the middle, two RBIs. Muncy, he had some decent at bats, struck out twice though. Smith walked twice, got on base. Gavin Lux went 2 for 4. Edmonds went 2 for 4. He had that bunt. There was like that he had a bunt that was amazing. Yeah. And there was another inning where I'm going to say I'm really shocked that Roberts didn't have a bunt again, which we could talk about that maybe later if I remember the sequence of it. I'm not really 100% sure. Rojas had a big hit. The thing that was so great about the last game, it was every inning with the exception of one, the Dodgers at least had two runners on base. They applied the pressure throughout the game. It was an amazing game to be at. So that's pretty much all I got to say about that game, Max, unless you want to add to it because you were there, or Mike, if you want to say something about it.
Game one?
Game one. We're talking about game one. We'll get all mopey and depressed on game two. But let's, like, if you got anything you want to add for game one, just let me know what you guys think.
Definitely a cool vibe at Dodger Stadium.
I
want to
hear about Max's first
experience at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, it's
a charming ballpark. Charming. Because it's a little older, you know, it's not one of the newer guys, right? But it seems like, and we walked around after the game, there's really not a bad seat the way they designed it. I love the open air, because I was telling you guys offline that, you know, most of the stadiums back east, they have, like, you know, the awnings for weather and stuff like that. So you have that coverage, but here it's all open. So you see pretty much everything, the sky, you can see all the pop balls. It's great, great view. And the vibe there was cool. There wasn't any craziness in our section, but there were some off to the left where we were.
Oh yeah,
a couple of guys, some knuckleheads, a little too much to drink.
So I pieced together what happened by looking at everybody's social media posts on it. So, and it's kind of what I thought what happened was. It seemed like two guys got in an altercation. One guy got pushed over the side. So security guards come and they basically try to arrest the person, get him in handcuffs. This is over by the third base foul pole line.
Yeah,
foul pole. And another guy jumps over. Looks like his son. He tries to help out his dad. I'm assuming that's the relationship as far as it could be his uncle you know, maybe his older boyfriend. I'm not too sure. But that starts to happen. So whenever they both get pulled away, when everything seems like it's done, there's a guy pointing to another person, yelling at him, saying, this is the guy that started the whole thing. So I think that's the guy who got in the fight with the guy who fell over the first time.
Gotcha.
Security comes back to escort him out. He starts flipping off the head security guy. Then people start throwing stuff at this guy. I had never seen anything like that at Dodger Stadium. I've seen people get in altercations. I've seen people jump the fence and run, do whatever.
Yeah.
I've never seen a dude get pushed over and then there's a fight that happens.
Yeah, that was...
It was very... And they stopped the game for... It felt like 15 minutes or something.
Yeah, and I said that next time they want to do that, make sure it's the Padres pitchers that's waiting.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to ice your pitcher here. You know?
That's what they did the next game.
We'll get there, right? So it was a cool vibe. I'll give that. And then, you know, typical, you know, the first inning, you know, there was rust there. Will Smith had some trouble with some of the pitches, and Yamamoto, I don't know if he's amped up because he's still a young guy, and you know, I don't know if he was.
Robert thinks he was tipping his pitches.
Did he actually come out and say that?
Yeah,
maybe he was. Mm. You know, so
yeah.
You know, and that's a big thing. I mean, but you know, he wasn't sharp, and that's why he didn't last long. So I equate all that to young guy. You know, like you said, maybe tipping pitches, maybe he's too amped up, and then some rust, and that's really why you ended up with a 3-run first inning. But after that, I think they held their composure, because if you think about it, they could have easily folded with their past trauma with the playoffs, right? As a franchise, as a guy, they got swept last year, right? And you could have, as a team, they could have all been like, oh my goodness, here we go again. But instead, they battled back. Ohtani comes up with that big 3-run home run, and I think it was like I could feel like, wow, they overcame that. That's a huge mental hurdle that they just tied it up, and then it was just coasting after that. Like I really, you know, that I really valued that, because again, that team has that postseason trauma of getting taken out well before most people expect them to, and you're down 3-0 and you're saying, oh my goodness, here we go again, and boom.
Yeah,
you know they battle back.
My only take for game one, I think Max, that's kind of what I was going to say, is they show the adversity. We were down 3-0. They could have folded.
Yep,
but they competed and battled throughout the game. We had the lead for a moment, and I think we surrendered it again to San Diego. And then we battled back again.
Yep,
to take the lead. But they fought and battled, and we said it before, right? The San Diego's not going to give us a series.
No.
They're going to fight. They're going to keep coming. The second you think you got them on the ropes, they're going to come back again, and they're a great baseball team. But I like the fact that we competed and won that game yesterday. I personally think it was a good move to go to Yamamoto in game one. However, when we talk about game two, it's all I expected as it unfolded, but I have a little bit of insight on that.
Listen, I was talking to Robbie when we were getting into the car leaving. I was like, you know, I still might have wanted Walker Buehler to start game one, because I could have used him in game five, because of all these guys, I trust him the most because of his past postseason success. You know, because, you know, you guys are dealing with a lot of injuries in terms of pitching staff. So I would have trusted, you know, historical information, like, okay, I know Walker Buehler is going to give me it. He'll die on that mound. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in game five, I need somebody who can take all that out of their minds, and who I know can handle that. So I would have went with him game one and then for a potential game five. But, you know, I think they should be all right as long as they take game three.
Yeah, it's I like the strategy only because I think there's a wild card. We didn't know how we were going to come out in game one. And if we came out flat and we lost, and then if we would have, we didn't know how game two was going to handle. Mm-hmm. I think the strategy right now is the right move. I think it's, they're switching it up from what we've done in the past because it hadn't worked.
I don't know. I mean,
I just worry about game five. If you get it to game five, what do you do if you get to game five? Hopefully, it doesn't matter.
You got to get to game five first.
Well, hopefully, yeah.
Totally agree.
Hopefully, we handle business in game three and game four. And hopefully, game two was a wake up call for the Dodgers to regroup. So let's talk about that gem of a game. All right. So Flaherty comes in. Flaherty goes 5-1/3. four earned runs, one walk, 2K, two home runs. So right off the bat, you know, Tatis Jr. hits a solo home run in a very poor pitch location, in my opinion.
Yeah, with a 1-2 count, I think.
It was like a 1-2 count, I believe you're right. Fastball, pretty much right in the wheelhouse.
Why?
I'm not too sure.
Why would you throw that? If you're up 1-2 on a guy, you throw him junk.
Are we sure he was up 1-2?
I'm pretty sure that what it is? 1-2 count.
It's fine. So then Betts comes in the following inning. You think he gets a home run. And we're looking at this highlight right now. Whoops, let me put it up here. People on our Facebook. And Profar robs the guy in the outfield. Should have brought his glove. I'm telling you, if that guy brings his glove and catches that ball, so Profar doesn't actually get the ball, look at this guy. Just rip it out of his hand, man.
Well, that would have been interference.
No, because he comes over the fence to get it. That's not interference. He comes over the fence, not interference. Clean. Anyways, Profar did make a great play. Kind of looked like a little bit of a jerk afterwards, but, you know, it all is well. Peralta comes in. He hits a two-run homer, giving San Diego a 3-0 lead. All these highlights are basically all the Padres, you know, hit after hit after hit. Flaherty did his best to minimize the damage, and it would have been a lot easier if he could have had some help on the offensive side. But Padres played great defense as well. They kept robbing him. Here you go. Freeman has a shot down to right field, and Tatis Jr. made a great play on this. Did you know, Tatis got a platinum in right field. Did you know that? Max, you were talking about the Dodgers gloves. Getting platinum gloves. Yeah. Well, Tatis Jr. got a platinum glove for San Diego for plays like that in right field.
You know?
Shortly after that, that's when Freddie Freeman leaves the game. Maybe he thought he was going to get a double, and so he started like really running hard and maybe tweaked it or something. Hopefully we'll find out soon. Kike takes one all the way to center field to the warning track, and just not enough push-ups, man. Couldn't get it over the center field wall, which is, you know, a big bummer. They had their hits. They had their shots. At the end of the day, baseball's a game of inches, and their stick wasn't as big as San Diego today. Let's just say that. It's unfortunate, but they were hitting the ball. It wasn't like Darvish pushed him around the entire time. And a lot of the hits that they got, the runs that the bullpen gave up, with the exception of Brazier, I think Brazier, because he pitched two games, but he pitched games back-to-back, and we've talked about how I don't like it when their bullpen does that. Bonda did a decent job, even though one of the runs that he gave in was one of Flaherty's. Hudson looked really good when he came in. Other than that, I mean, you had the low leverage guys in, the guys that wouldn't be in there when the game was really on the line. So I think at some point they looked at it and was like, all right, it's time to start thinking about game three. This game's a little out of reach. Let's make sure we have a bullpen for game three. So that's why you saw Michael Grove come in. You saw the young kid, I can never say his name properly. You know what I'm talking about.
Enriquez?
Yeah. He came in. At the end of the day, it just wasn't the Dodgers game. What was sad about this game is kind of the way the fan base kind of handled themselves, which was pretty disappointing. At some point in left field, something happened with Profar later in the game. Somebody throws a baseball at him, which I have to guess after he was done warming up, he threw a baseball in the left field, and that fan who got that baseball threw it back at him.
Oh, come on.
That's what I'm thinking of where that baseball came from. And then Profar obviously took it to heart, and, you know, manager came out there, tried to kind of like defuse the situation. They kind of all get in a huddle. The game is stopped at this point. And then at some point, Tatis Jr. in right field, they start throwing trash at him over there. So they stopped the game again.
What are we doing?
It was pretty embarrassing, to be honest with you. As a Dodger fan, that was pretty embarrassing to see.
Do better.
So the game that we were at yesterday, seeing the fan base in left field, what happened there, and then seeing what they did. I mean, look. I've said this on this podcast 1,000 times. I don't like the Padres at all. There's not really any players I like on that team. I like Darvish. I like the rookie kid.
Yeah, but it's all in fan fun.
It's all fan fun. Yeah, we'll yell stuff at them. Yeah. Like when Machado made the error, Manny, stuff like that. That's totally fine. But throwing trash in the field, throwing stuff like,
come on, guys.
That's not acceptable. That was really disappointing to see that on TV.
Especially if it's a ball he's throwing as a souvenir for a fan, you know? Like, come on.
Yeah. It's one thing if
he's
the drunk
a nice guy actually going giving guys some memorabilia here.
Yeah, it's one thing if the drunk guys get into fight with each other and they fall into the field. Hey, you know, it's because we can't handle our liquor, I guess, because we drink too much. But if we start like throwing stuff at the players, that's not classy at all. Yeah, it's pretty trashy.
If the opposing team throws you a baseball, you catch it and you don't want it, find a kid nearby and give it to them. Even they don't care if it's from the opposing team.
Yeah.
You know, they just want a ball from the game.
I'm just assuming that because I don't know where the ball came from. That's because they're like, you see the players do that all the time when they're done warming up. They turn around, they throw the balls in the field, regardless if it's home field.
It doesn't matter.
If it's visitors or whatever the case is, wherever the ball came from, doesn't really matter. At the point is
don't do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, be better.
Be better fans. Be better fans. All right. So hold on. I got something for Max because Max didn't want to talk a lot in this episode. Let me make sure I go find this thing for him really quick. Where did it go? Did I not post it in here? Oh.
Ad spot?
Max's ad spot. There it is. I found it. Let me go ahead and copy and paste
it. I saw it wasn't in there, so I was like, I got the night off.
Nope, 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 nope. Double time it. I'm going to put it in bold for you.
Oh, gosh.
I got to put it all in caps. It means you have to yell it.
I will now.
Don't forget to like us on X.
Yeah, all the information's on the bottom of here, you know.
Where can you find
really
that,
bolded
Max?
It? Oh, my goodness.
I bolded it for you, man.
Player Spotlight is brought to you by Rot Your Brain Media, the up-and-coming podcast company delivering top-quality content across all podcast platforms. From sports entertainment to in-depth movie and TV reviews, Rot Your Brain Media is your go-to for fun and exciting content. Don't miss out. Visit their Patreon page at patreon.com/rotyourbrainmedia. Boy, did we need some help in that. Someone could have bought us a beer yesterday. Oh. To support this dynamic new company and be part of something special, subscribe now and get ready to have your brain truly entertained.
You know what? Talking about that really fast, what we could have bought at Dodger Stadium. What I did buy at Dodger Stadium, and I've never said this before, I've always backed the Dodger dog. I know it's not the greatest, but that's always been my thing. I go to a Dodger game, I get a Dodger dog, I get some peanuts, I get a soda, and I never leave my chair the entire time. That was the worst. I always get super dogs too, because they're all beef. I get my super dog, I sit down after the first inning, I had to get up and go, I need to go take this back, this is terrible. I actually took it back, they gave me another one, I sat down like, this is just as bad as the first one. They were terrible. Like, they were overcooked.
I think they were from the last series.
I now have to jump on the bandwagon of hating the Dodger dog, and next time I go to Dodger Stadium, I'm going to try one of their other new kinds of food they got floating around with.
Bring back Farmer John's Dodger dogs.
Are they not Farmer John anymore?
No, they're not Farmer John anymore.
Oh,
I did not know that. When did they change that?
Couple seasons ago.
Oh, and you know, I didn't go last season. This is the first game I went to this season.
That's not Farmer John's anymore. Farmer John's all loyal Dodger fans and people that attend the stadium know that the Farmer John Dodger dog was the iconic hot dog of Dodger Stadium for the last, since the 80s.
Gotcha.
Since I can remember.
No, you're right, yeah.
And then a couple seasons ago, they went to a different brand. Somebody else now carries the Dodger dog, and I will agree with what he's saying is they aren't what they used to be.
That brand is terrible.
Oh, man.
It is terrible.
I missed out.
So, anyways, that being said,
came two seasons too late.
Sorry to hear about that. Yeah, they're not bad. Not what they once were.
I just wanted to throw that out there. I did finally get a new Dodger hat, though, like an iconic Dodger hat. To go along with my white Dodger hat that Max got me and my Boston Dodger hat, which are sitting
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Looking sharp there, Robbie, with the new Dodger hat.
Yeah, I like it. It's the right color. It's not all faded. All right, so let's talk about the next couple of games.
Hold on. I want to recap game two. I have some insight on that.
We just recapped it. Where were you?
I was listening to you ramble on how we blew it, but I have some positive insight.
There you go. All right.
Hit them.
I believe that Flaherty did. I just wanted to make sure I had my words.
I thought our stream froze.
No. My brain froze.
That was so good.
Not a first. My brain has been known to freeze. No, I think Flaherty did his job. We were at one point it was 4-0 or 4-1. And the bases didn't come along. I think Flaherty did his job other than the two big home runs he gave up. I think he kept us in it. Darvish has outpitched us. I think, and then we gave it away towards the end. But I think we were in it the first six innings.
Yeah,
I don't think the scoreboard truly reflects how well Darvish pitched against us. And
we had our moments though. It wasn't like Darvish.
It's not like we got smoked.
It wasn't
like we got smoked 10-1. Yeah, we lost 10-1. Mm. But I don't think the scoreboard reflects how close the game really was.
Yeah. And that's I agree with that. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So I agree with that.
It sucks that we lost and it looked really bad. And we didn't need to give up any more home runs at the end and give any more reasons for Tatis and them to have more swagger going into game three. But I don't think the scoreboard reflects how tight the game was. We talked about our pre-production, you know, some of the good plays they made to keep runs off the board when San Diego defensively.
Yeah.
With that being said, we still could have hit a lot better in the 5-8 innings.
Yeah. Well, one thing that's actually good, now let's jump into the preview thing and we'll kind of jump
into that. Yeah, I was just going to roll into that. Game three, but.
So one thing that I was watching the post game with Ortiz and Jeter and Alex Rodriguez.
A-Rod.
A-Rod actually brought up a good point. Maybe it was Jeter who said it. Either way, it's one of those Yankee yodels. basically, now the Dodgers have an opportunity to put San Diego on their heels by scoring first. And it's kind of one of the things that the Dodgers haven't had a chance to do is actually put the Padres on their heels. They've actually been like, it seems...
That's a good point. So I never thought of that.
Yeah, and so Alex Rodriguez tells a story about, I think, they're playing the World Series. They're about to go in and play against, I want to say Philly.
Philly in 09.
Yeah, Philly. And Jeter gets on the bus and says, I'm swinging first pitch, you know, get us on the board.
Yep.
And he swings first pitch and, you know, gets a home run. And in a way, that's what Otani's been kind of known for this season. And it's also when Betts has been known for when he bats leadoff as well. It's kind of jumping on these guys early. And so right now the Dodgers are going to have the opportunity coming in against King on Tuesday. And do kind of what San Diego's already done to the Dodgers the first two games. The first game, Machado hits a 3-run homer, puts the Dodgers on the heels for a little bit. Next game, Tatis hits a solo home run, puts the Dodgers on their heels a little bit. And so the Dodgers start pressing. Now the Dodgers have the opportunity to do the same thing to San Diego, and hopefully they can capitalize on it. I think that's what they need to do in the beginning is score early and just play smart baseball. If they can score early, play smart baseball, and we know that I can tell you right now, Buehler's not going to come in and get 12 strikeouts. Buehler's probably not even going to get 9, maybe, probably not even 7 or 6. What he's going to do is get that soft contact. And with Kike playing third base, because I think that's what's going to happen, with Muncy moving over to first base, you're going to have a solid first baseman, a solid third baseman. You'll have Rojas at short. Lux has looked really good at second base. You'll have a solid defensive lineup out there. If they play smart baseball, get in front of them, I think that's how they're going to win the game. Is play smart baseball. If Buehler can go 5 innings, 6 innings, and give up just 2 runs, then I think the Dodgers will be in really good shape once they give it to their bullpen at the end.
There is something, I know Mike's not going to like this, analytically to maybe trying to get King early, because he has really great out pitches. Right, his changeup, his sweeper, his slider. If you can get him on his four seam and his sinker early, because his numbers, his metrics on his sweeper and chart, they're really high. I mean, last game he had 12 strikeouts in that playoff game. So maybe there is something to, you know, you see that first fastball, don't expect you're gonna get anything better. You know, wail at it.
So I want to touch base on this. This is the one time I actually do agree with maybe not 100%, but two analytics. While I was watching the game today, John Smoltz mentioned it last game one and game two, that in the scouting report with Betts, he's always been patient and been a good two-strike hitter, and everybody knows that. So what Smoltz was saying in the broadcast is that if you get a first-pitch fastball or first-pitch strike, Betts should be jumping on top of that.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that in these first two games, first pitch fastball, just ready to jump on rather getting down in the count with 1 or 2 strikes in the playoffs, because the odds of him getting a hit or a pitch to hit in the playoffs are much more difficult. So
yeah, better
pitch. You do have a point with that. And he's supposedly changing up his approach and not being as patient at the plate in the playoffs.
Yeah, if you see something you like,
crush it. I've always been against the grain. And like, if you know the first pitch is going to be a fastball down the middle, tee off.
Right.
Like, don't just let a fastball strike, let him throw, go 0-1. Like, I've always thought you should attack as far as being at the plate, yeah, unless the guy's shown that his pitches, he's struggling with his command. Yeah. I will also say back to game one, Flaherty was struggling with his command early on. Smoltz touched base on that, and he finally settled down in the third inning.
Game two.
Game two, sorry.
Yeah.
So, but he settled down in the third, fourth, fifth innings, I guess, or third or fourth innings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This year, King has allowed 12 home runs off his fastball and his sinker, and only 5 between his changeup, sweeper, and slider.
Is he a first pitch fastball guy where he tries to get
ahead so he can kill you with that sweeper and slider. A fastball and changeup. Well, he's a sinker baller mainly, so.
Right.
You're going to see some sinkers, try to get you early in that count with the sinker and fastball, and then he's coming with that changeup and that sweeper and that slider to put you out. Those are his out pitches. And, you know, if you follow, like, Pitching Ninja on X, he'll overlay his pitches, and they look pretty much the same until they freaking veer off on you and you look like, right, like a fool. So try to get him early.
So against King, I'm looking at your stats you pulled for the last episode.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Oh, Tani looks like he's had the most success. 6 for 14, 3 home runs against him, 4 RBIs, yeah, which that's good. 15 plate appearances. So he's at a healthy.
Yeah, because he was in Anaheim, size. And when King was at a reliever with the Yankees, so
yeah,
he saw him early. There,
Betts has had some. Betts is batting 200 against him. He's gone 2 for 10 with him, or 2 for 10 against him. But both those hits that he had are 2-run or yeah, 2 home runs, 5 RBIs. I'm sorry, 12 plate appearances. So he's got a couple walks there. Maybe yeah, a sacrifice. Who knows? Freeman. I mean, who knows if Freeman's going to play? I don't think he's going to. If they pulled him in this game, maybe. Who knows? If Freeman goes 2 for 10, also Teoscar 6 for 20. So. The Dodgers have had...
They can hit him.
Yeah. You did say, I think you did mention when we talked about this last episode that a lot of this stuff is because he was doing relievers, so some of these stats might be ballooned a little bit.
Well, early in the season, the first 2 starts, the Dodgers hit him well. The following 2 starts when King really got into... Because remember, King was a reliever until the last few, like maybe the last month or two. Last year, the Yankees started converting him to go back to being a starting pitcher.
Right.
So this is his first full-time year as a starting pitcher. So obviously maybe working out his repertoire in the beginning of the year. So they hit him early, but then the last 2 starts, he kind of was really dominant. So, and he's been hot the last
yeah,
few weeks. So it's not going to be an easy matchup, but I still think if they had go in there with the right approach, he's hittable.
Here's one thing that I'm noticing, tough, though. If Freddie Freeman is feeling good and he is playing, I think this might be the game, even though Lux has been hitting the ball, I think this might be the game you sit Lux and you play Kike at second base. Mm. Just because Lux is 0-for-9 against him. Kike's at least had some success against him. He went going 2-for-4 and 4 plate appearances. And I would say that that'd be the only switcheroo that I could see happening. That also puts Kike in the right spot.
Mm.
In case they do end up pulling Freeman, then you just move Kike over, and then not only does Lux play second base, but Lux takes over Freddie Freeman in the left-handed hitter spot in the lineup, because they're still going to go righty, lefty, righty, lefty, righty, lefty. So that'll give them an option to kind of keep that going through throughout yeah, the lineup.
Here's his last 2 games. He had 7 innings, 2 hits, and struck out 11 versus the Dodgers, and then his last start versus Dodgers, 3 strikeouts, 5 innings pitched, 3 hits. So he kind of figured it out. But again, those games, I mean, we can look it up, but it could have been when, you know, the Dodgers were in whole. The one game was in May, and the other game was in September.
Yeah.
So, but the first 2 games, in March and in early April, they got to him 3 earned runs in the first game, off 4 hits, 4 earned runs, and off 6 hits, but it was 7, so there was 3 unearned runs in that game too, so it really got a hand. So,
all right. Well, hopefully Dodgers.
Hey, we split the series here. The second best, I mean, you guys can agree that the Padres are the second best team in baseball, right?
I do for the National League, yeah. Yeah. Probably in all baseball.
I don't know. I still like Philly, man.
Even though the Mets.
Well, that's been hot, and
what
Philly,
Mets have
I still
been
like
doing?
Philly.
I don't know. Maybe.
But that's been an exciting series, too. I mean.
That might go 5, so.
I think it's. Yeah, we could. I mean, we split the series. At least we didn't go down 0-2. We'll go there. Hopefully we can split there. It'll be all right.
No, but you don't want to split. Just win two and call it a day.
Yeah. The only thing that bothers me.
Just get them over with.
The only thing that bothers me is I'm okay with the split if it felt like it was competitive throughout. You know what I mean? This game, even though we talked about how it should look more competitive on paper, it doesn't look that competitive because they had six at the end of the day, they had six home runs against us. And that's a lot of fuel to be thrown on these guys going back into their hometown.
Yeah, they don't need any more ammunition.
If the game was close going into their I would feel pretty confident.
Yeah, if it was like 3-1, 4-1.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I agree. Say 4-1, yeah.
I agree.
But the fact that they were able to pile on all that stuff. That's why it's so important that Walker Buehler has a good start. If he doesn't have that good start, then obviously we should be worried. But you know what?
We're going to have to one-up it. Walker Buehler needs to dominate.
He's going
to
dominate. There you go. He's going to dominate. Everybody on the Dodgers is going to have a home run. It's going to be amazing. All right. Unless you guys want to add anything else to this, I think I'm going to call it. This episode's gone pretty long.
Game 3, let's go Dodgers.
We
need a big win.
Yeah.
Hopefully we take it to them. And what you guys talked about is us being at the top of the inning. We can set the pace for the whole game and the Padres will be chasing us.
And then hopefully our next episode, it's going to be a happy episode. Because that's going to be on Thursday.
That's going to be after Game 4?
That'll be after Game 4.
So I predicted the series is over Thursday. So we're partying, right?
Hope so.
Hopefully we're partying.
NLCS.
Hopefully we're partying. All right, that's good.
Mike, you're the swagger guy. What's up, man? Where's the energy? They win. They're taking two. Why is the Yankee guy got to give you guys this? They're taking two in San Diego.
We're good.
Me and the television had a tough time tonight.
I hear you. The Jets had me up at 6 a.m. to watch that filth.
Yes, you feel my pain. Yeah,
that's going to do it for this episode of Talking Dodgers. Thank you guys all for listening. If you've listened this long, you must be a fan. Please go check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/rotyourbrainmedia. All of your contributions helps us create new content, helps us buy coffee, helps us, feel like we're, feel better about ourselves, really.
Really? When we feel great about ourselves, what are you talking about, my man?
Hey, man, help produce, help sponsor. Don't forget to help us spread like a virus. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your enemies. Tell your enemies about us. You know what? I left the studio to go get food really quick before we did this podcast. Went over to Panda Express, walked in there, and there's a couple there, and they both had their Dodger gear on. We both looked at each other. We both gave ourselves a look because of after it was after Game 2.
I hope you told them to listen to Talking Dodgers.
But then I told them to listen to Talking Dodgers, and they were super excited. If they ever listened to podcasts, they said they'd check it out, but they weren't podcast people. Well, I'm saying is I'm doing my part. You guys should do your part. Keep listening.
I didn't watch any of the Mets highlights. That Mets Philly game looked epic.
Goodbye.
You always talk about Castellanos having swag, man.
Oh, dude, I like swag, him a lot. Do you see tonight?